Joining me now on Inside Ivy Hoops, coming off his team's win in a thriller over Columbia in Manhattan Saturday night, is Brown coach Mike Martin. Coach, thanks so much for coming on the podcast. How are you?
Mike, I'm doing really well. Thanks for having me on, and thanks for all the coverage you give our great league.
Well, it's our pleasure, truly. There's been an awful lot to enjoy this year. An awful lot of heart-stopping games. Your team involved with two of them this past weekend, 2-point win at Levian over Columbia. It really, the common thread this past weekend, or one common thread this past weekend for your team and throughout the season, has been the significant different improvement on the defensive end. The last three games, you've held Ivy opponents under 1 point per possession, and it's been, you know, it's been a solid defensive effort, kind of reminiscent of the first couple of teams you coached at Brown, 13 and 14, a little bit. Great defensive play at that end of the floor. What do you attribute the significant leap, or if indeed you see it as that, at the defensive end of the floor for your team so far this season?
Well, I appreciate you focusing on the positive about our defense and not asking me what's wrong with our offense, because we've had in this stretch, especially in the Ivy League, our defense, other than that Penn game, which I think I pointed to, I thought that was, and obviously Penn deserves a ton of credit for how they played offensively that night, but I thought that was really, if you look at our entire season now, 24 games, thought that was an outlier from a defensive standpoint. As far as our performance, they were 1.28 points per possession. Other than that game, the highest all year had been Butler, which scored 1.11 against us. So we've tried to hang our hat on our defense. When our offense has been good, that's when we've been really good. That's when you see a 20-plus point win at San Diego State and some of the other really good performances we've had non-conference. But in league play, other than the Penn game, our defense has been good enough to win most nights, and our offense, not so much. But, our guys have really, I think it's a few things why we're better defensively. Number one, we're a year older. We have more experience. It's a lot of the same guys from last year. And I think they're just, understanding coverages and teams a little bit better. They're a year bigger and stronger and faster from all the work they've done. And we do have, I think, really good defensive versatility. We've got a lot of guys in the 6'4 to 6'6, 6'7 range who have length and athleticism and can cover a lot of different positions. It allows us to have some good versatility in our coverages. And we've just emphasized it, Mike. I mean, from the very first team meeting of the year, we talked about the importance of, our improvement defensively. If you look at, I think, 17 years that Ken Pomeroy has, tracked the top defenses and offenses in the Ivy League, I think 14 out of those 17 years, the number one defense also happened to win the regular season championship. So, we've got to continue to make progress offensively if we want to, continue to improve in the standings. But I am pleased our defense has been in the, top 50 to top 75 nationally all year in adjusted defensive efficiency. And our raw defensive numbers are even better than that. So our guys have bought into it, and I'm pleased with the improvement defensively.
It's always cool when Ken Pom comes up, and it does come up pretty often, conversation on Inside Ivy Hoops, and even better when I'm not the one bringing it up. So it's been cool to see the rise of analytics and becoming.
Well, Mike, you're a Penn guy, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So you know the name Stuart Suss all too well, Stu Suss really, to me was. Ken Pomeroy way before Ken Pomeroy, and he, as you may know, he tracked, you know, every offensive and defensive possession for 10 teams going back to the Chuck Daly years. And I was fortunate, you know, to come with Coach Miller as an assistant coach to Penn back in 2006, 2007. And Stu really introduced me to, you know, the analytical way of looking at the game. I'm fortunate, you know, that he taught me so much, and you know, a lot of the things, you know, that we chart and look at here at Brown that you can't easily get online is thanks to what Stu taught us. So it was a great experience for me to be able to learn from Stu.
Yeah, Stu Suss of Penn, Ivy, Big Five, you name it, legend of statistical analysis. That is for sure. A lot of debt owed to him in that field. I'm glad you brought him up. That's awesome. Let's flip around and look to the other side of the floor. Since you mentioned the offense has been struggling a bit. There's been some, certainly not to single him out because he's been such an electrifying talent, still is, but Desmond Cambridge has been struggling a bit from the field. Meanwhile, you have the emergence of George Mwanakalama, which has been really cool to see, scoring in double figures in three of the last five games after not having done that at all in Division I competition, against Division I competition before. What do you see as the – how do you define where this – you know, where the offense is right now? Is it a shooting funk? Is it something else? How do you try to kind of reset things on that end of the floor?
You know what? Depending on the game, you could point to a lot of different things. Coincidentally, our best offensive game in the league was at home against Penn, a game, you know, which was the least competitive of all of our Ivy League games, really, because our defense was not there. But, you know, I thought early on in league play, you know, we probably didn't, you know, run, exhibit as much patience as we needed with some of our shots. Other games, I thought we ran really good offense and we got good shots. They just didn't go in. This past weekend against Cornell, I thought our, you know, obviously we turned it over way too much. So, It hasn't been one main theme, you know, as far as why our offense hasn't been as good in league play. I think you have to give the other defenses in our league a lot of credit too. Everything is much more, you know, heavily scouted, and you know, teams are, you know what we're trying to do and what we're trying to look at. So I've seen progress. I've seen improvement. I'm hopeful we can put it all together, because when we do put everything together on both offense and defense, you know, like I said earlier, we've seen great performances from this team, and I think we're capable of doing some really good things if we can put it all together.
And with one more win, that would mark the most wins that one of your teams ever had in a season at Brown, the most since 2008, it'd be 16. Do you feel like this team has the most raw talent among any of the teams that you've coached at Brown? I realize comparisons like that can be a bit of, you know, can be treacherous sometimes, but what do you think? How does this team measure up in terms of raw talent?
Yeah, it's a tough question, Mike. Obviously, I coached some, you know, really good players when I first got here, and Sean McGonigal and Raphael Maya, Matt Sullivan, Cedric Clark, and most of those guys, but I do think this is right up there. I mean, all of our kind of numbers would indicate that. You know, when you look at our wins and then just, you know, our the different metrics and ranking systems that are out there, this is definitely the most athletic team we've had. It's the most versatile team we've had, and you know, I'm excited that you know, we're continuing to kind of build the culture that we need to be successful here at Brown.
And up next is Harvard Friday night. Bryce Aiken is certainly on a tear. A lot of clutch play in the last 2 weekends. When you're going up against a dominant opposing scorer in general, like Aiken, and certainly he's not the only one in the Ivy League, how do you try to slow him down, broadly speaking, from a tactical standpoint?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, last week at this time, we were getting ready to go to Ithaca to play Matt Morgan, and while different, two dynamic scorers, both on the perimeter, you know, and we really, you know, just try to, you know, we try to take, you know, what they do really well, and obviously with those guys, it's a lot of things, and just try not to give them a ton of options on a given player and a given action. We try to dictate to them a little bit, you know, where we want them to go, whether it be in a cut or in a ball screen situation, and build our defense to be ready to react based on, you know, where we want them to go. So easier said than done, Mike, because, you know, Bryce is a terrific talent, and as you said, he's playing as well as anyone right now. But, we've got good defensive team. Obi Okoli, I think, maybe he's gone under the radar a little bit in the league this year as far as how good he's been defensively. I mean, we put him on, you know, all the top perimeter guys, you know, for the other team. And he's really done a great job. So he won't be the only one that guards Bryce Aiken, but he'll certainly, get his opportunity to make life difficult for Bryce. But, we know it's a tall order.
Yeah, Obi Okoli, I certainly agree, has gone under the radar. There are a lot of good matchup defenders in the Ivy League, but he certainly, especially given his prominent role on a defense that's taken such a significant step forward this season, certainly deserves a lot of mention, and the fact that, you know, when's the last time he hasn't scored in double figures at the other end of the floor? A lot that he's adds to the table, and he plays a lot for you. he's typically up there near 40 minutes a game, I think.
He's playing really well, Mike, and there's, you know, we're a much different team when he's on the court versus when he's off the court. He's been a dynamic playmaker on offense, and he's been, you know, kind of the leader of our defense.
I wanted to switch it up and cover a topic that we've talked a little bit previously on the podcast about, which is Ivy back-to-backs, which we know are under review by coaches, athletic directors, other stakeholders in the Ivy landscape. And I just wanted to ask you what your thoughts are on, you know, the value of keeping, you know, whether you think it's a good idea to keep the scheduling status quo with Ivy back-to-back weekends, or if it's worth tinkering or tweaking the current scheduling model and trying to come up with a change.
Yeah, it's a great question, and I'm fortunate to be on involved in this in a minor way on a subcommittee that's kind of looking at some things that'll make some recommendations to the athletic directors and see if there may be any type of adjustment we want to make. Obviously, you know, we can look at it because Princeton is in 2020-2021 academic year going to exams in December, so now January will be fair game for conference play even earlier in January. I guess to sum it up, I think whatever makes the most sense for the student-athlete experience, Mike, I'm in favor of. I do think that expanding the league schedule a little bit and eliminating some of the back-to-backs is best for the student-athlete. Not having a 2 or 3 week break in between Division I games in early January, which a lot of the men's and women's teams experience right now, I think that's best for the student athlete. So, what model or what kind of route we go, we'll leave that up to, you know, the powers that be. But I do think there's a great justification for expanding the league schedule over a longer period to make it a little bit less strenuous on our student athletes.
Certainly makes sense. And as far as the Ivy League tournament, another hot button issue has been since it was conceived, and then even before. This year it's at Yale, obviously. Do you think that the site ought to rotate among Ivy arenas or be a neutral location? There's a lot of different ways you can fall on that. What do you think is the most ideal location for the Ivy League tournament as is now?
I don't know that I have an answer for that, because I do think there's valid points to be made for kind of anchoring it in New York City. There's also valid points to rotate it around. Obviously, the Palestra is a great venue in our league that we're fortunate to have. So I think that's a hard one, Mike. I would tell you, I don't care where it's played. I want the Brown Bears to be in it. So we're working hard to make that a possibility and an opportunity for our group. At this point, I can see a lot of pros and cons to having it at a neutral site versus rotating around to different events.
Yeah, there's a lot of different ways it could go, that's for sure. But certainly your team's still within the conversation, particularly given that win at Columbia Saturday night. I did want to ask you, too, the fact that, and for those listeners who don't know, you were a four-year starter at Brown, part of the winningest class in Brown history, leading up to 2004, from 2002-2004. Being an alum of the program, how much does that help, and how frequently does that help with recruiting, to be able to say, not only do you have an Ivy League background, but you can say, look, I'm from here, I went here, I know what it's like to compete here and be a part of the program here and balance everything here. Well, how much is that, how much value in that is there, and how often do you use it?
Mike, I think it's great value. There's great value in it for me and for us. I'm living proof. Like, I'm not just trying to sell something that I've read about or heard about. I chose Brown over other schools in our league, and thought it was the best situation for me. It absolutely was. Anytime you're presenting something or trying to talk to a family about a certain decision, when you can have emotion and passion behind it, and you believe in what you're presenting, I think it speaks volumes. So I had a great experience here as a student athlete. Brown changed my life in so many ways, and I just want that same type of experience for the young men that I'm fortunate enough to be able to coach. I want Brown to change their lives in so many positive ways, and I want them to have fond memories of their student athlete experience at Brown. My experience was great because of Glenn Miller and his staff and my teammates. And as the head coach here right now, I want to do everything I can to make that experience great for my players.
Well, and while I'm thinking about it, our talk about Ken Pomeroy and statistics, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention one of your players, Tamanang Cho, is in the top five in the All Ivy League AllKenPom.com rankings, which is pretty significant. And I don't know if we'd mentioned him yet, and just wanted to kind of add him in there. He's certainly the value that he adds at both ends of the floor has been evident. How would you assess how he's developed this season as a sophomore?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought his name up, Mike. He's really improved by leaps and bounds, and it's no coincidence because of how hard he works, in the summertime. But I mean, he can literally guard all five positions. He's an outstanding rebounder at both ends of the court. When he gets a defensive rebound, it ignites our transition game because he can really dribble the ball up and get us going. And, you know, we can play through him at the high post. We can play through him in the low post. We can play through him on the perimeter and in transition. Our offense is much better when he gets as many touches as possible, and because he can score, he can set guys up, and obviously he can go get it off the offensive glass. So proud of him, and I think our sophomore class, has really helped us improve. They've really kind of made a huge impact, with Desmond and Tamine, and also with Matt and George. You talked about George earlier. And, there's a guy who was not playing a whole lot, and now he's, in double figures in a lot of Ivy League games because he just works so hard. He's in there before and after practice, and it was just, he deserved the opportunity to play. So it's helped our depth, and hopefully we can continue to, have other guys step up as we go down the stretch here.
And it's the stretch begins Friday against Harvard. I think there's free pizza for students that night. So all the more reason to get out for that one. Followed by Dartmouth Saturday. It's hard to believe we're already down in the stretch run, but that's where we are. Coach Mike Martin, thank you so very much for coming on the podcast. We really do appreciate it, and best of luck the rest of the season here.
Mike, thanks again. Great job on this. You and all the people on the Ivy podcast staff. I'm an avid runner, and I love listening to you guys when I run. So thanks again. All the best.